Better Software Design to podcast o projektowaniu oprogramowania. Wraz z moimi gośćmi rozmawiamy o architekturze, szczegółach implementacyjnych i wyzwaniach z tym związanych. Jeśli interesujesz się tworzeniem oprogramowania, to ten podcast jest właśnie dla Ciebie. Zapraszam na odcinek. Pewien czas temu, gdy zaczynałem przygotowywać się do nagrywania tego podcastu, opracowałem sobie listę tematów, którymi chciałbym gdzieś tam zająć się w kolejnych odcinkach, czy to samodzielnie, czy z moimi gośćmi. I oczywiście na tej liście dosyć wysoko był oczywiście event storming. I prawdę mówiąc, planowałem nawet rozpocząć nagrywanie tego podcastu właśnie od event stormingu, no z racji też moich takich zawodowych zainteresowań i bliskości do tej techniki. Natomiast bardzo szybko przyszła gdzieś taka refleksja, że może to nie jest jednak dobry temat na sam początek z wielu powodów. Sporo rzeczy gdzieś tam udało się zebrać w repozytorium Awesome Event Storming na GitHubie. Z Maćkiem Aniserowiczem w DevTalku numer 110 też mieliśmy okazję porozmawiać na temat podstaw tej techniki, więc jeżeli ktoś by był zainteresowany właśnie takimi podstawami, to ja gorąco odsyłam do odcinka numer 110, do Maćka, do DevTalku. Tam można posłuchać sobie naszej rozmowy. I w planach też było nagranie odcinku podcastu DevEnv, gdzie wspólnie z ekipą DevEnva chcieliśmy popatrzeć jeszcze na inne aspekty event stormingu. I to wszystko spowodowało, że gdzieś ten temat event stormingu gdzieś tam zszedł na tej liście priorytetów na dalsze plany. Ale jednocześnie, patrząc na to, co się dzieje obecnie w naszym świadku IT, no głównie spowodowane przez koronawirusa i COVID-19, tym tematem chciałbym się zająć raz jeszcze, ale troszeczkę z innej perspektywy. Jedno z najczęstszych pytań, które gdzieś tam trafia ostatnio do mnie, czy to na Twitterze, czy w mailach, czy na LinkedInie, jest pytanie: czy event storming da się zrobić zdalnie? I dokładnie to pytanie chciałbym dzisiaj rozpracować na czynniki pierwsze. Ten odcinek będzie różnił się troszeczkę od tych poprzednich. Dzisiaj moimi gośćmi będą dwie osoby. Będzie to Alberto Brandolini, twórca stormingu. No bo gdzie by można zasięgnąć lepszej opinii na temat zdalnej wersji tej techniki, jeżeli nie u jej twórcy? Oraz osoba, której rozpoznawalność w Polsce chyba nie jest tak wysoka, jak być powinna. Będzie to Jacopo Romei, którego miałem okazję spotkać w Bolonii 2 lata temu na Event Storming Summit właśnie u Alberto, gdzie wspólnie z innymi osobami staraliśmy się wymienić doświadczeniami na temat stormingu, zagłębić troszeczkę się w tą technikę i zobaczyć, czy nie można tam jeszcze czegoś doszlifować. Przyznam się, że gdzieś tam w ostatnim czasie dosyć mocno czekałem właśnie na artykuły, na blogposty od Alberto, w których miał opisać swoje doświadczenie właśnie ze zdalnym stormingiem w czasach koronawirusa. I byłem bardzo ciekawy, jak on odniesie się do też tego artykułu, czy też może części książki, do tego rozdziału, w którym opisywał zdalny storming. Osoby, które miały okazję przejrzeć Introducing Event Storming to Alberto, pewnie pamiętają, że rozdział o zdalnym event stormingu to zasadniczo pusta kartka, w której zdaje się znajduje się tylko i wyłącznie jedno zdanie. Ten rozdział został tutaj pominięty celowo. I chciałem też zobaczyć, czy jakby bieżące doświadczenia i możliwość zasadniczo tylko i wyłącznie zdalnej pracy z ludźmi, zespołami, nie wpłynie znacząco na jego ocenę i na jego ogląd sytuacji i na możliwość zastosowania stormingu w różnych wydaniach. Chciałem też porównać doświadczenie moich dzisiejszych rozmówców z moimi własnymi doświadczeniami i praktykami wyniesionymi z wcześniejszych sesji modelowania zdalnego, i to na poziomie big picture, i na tych niższych poziomach stormingu, czyli na sesjach procesowych i na sesjach modelowania oprogramowania. Czy jakieś może tips and tricks od nich nie udałoby się gdzieś tutaj podpatrzeć i zastosować na kolejnych warsztatach? Tylko moje wcześniejsze doświadczenia z zastosowaniem, wykorzystywaniem tej techniki w takich sesjach zdalnych, ono było podyktowane może nie taką sytuacją epidemiologiczną, jaką mamy obecnie, ale bardziej czynnikami ekonomicznymi, gdzie po prostu nie opłacało się organizować sesji i ściągać wszystkich deweloperów, całego przedstawicieli biznesu w jedno miejsce gdzieś tam w jakimś punkcie czasu. Po prostu czynniki ekonomiczne mówiły, że tym razem to się po prostu nie zepnie. Ale bez zbędnego już przedania, zobaczmy, co Alberto ma w tym temacie do powiedzenia. Okay, so hi Alberto, how are you?
Hello, all good. All good. Yeah, locked in the house, but all good.
Yo, Alberto, you are known as an event storming inventor. So, you know, right now there is a huge question in the air about the remote session. And this is a topic I would like to discuss with you because recently you've wrote the two articles and you've got some experience for running the remote session. And I would like to talk how we can work and collaborate remotely in COVID-19 times. So this is my first question. How we can start to collaborate in a remote way?
Well, it's weird because well, the question was in the air. I actually didn't like the question before the pandemic spread. And a few things happened and then we had to get into plan B action. And it was so tough for me that I actually had to write two separate articles, one about remote event storming in general, and one if you are in forced remote because of healthcare reason. And so I'm not discussing anymore. Like, well, I think you still should try to do it in the in-person version. Well, I remember also you retweeting like, well, just grab a plane ticket. This is not viable anymore. The game has changed. We need to do something different. At the same time, one thing is, we don't have only one workshop. It's just like event storming is a family of workshops with different purposes, and some of them can work remotely, some of them can have a harder life. Let's say big picture was the one that needed to have 20, 30 people in the same room, and this now looks like, oh, that's illegal, you're going to go to jail. And at the same time, that was the workshop that was delivering most of the value. But it was working on some little, like we could deliver in the time box of one day, and we could deliver more that the participants were expecting. And doing that thing remotely, well, we can deliver something, but a lot of things will be slowed down. And so my current stand is just like for a big picture even storming, well, a few companies might still need it. Actually, we've been doing it on ourselves. We've been using this format to redesign some business line. Like we have a training business. We need to redesign our training business in order to work remotely. We started exploring all the different pain points that happen at different stages. But okay, we are the company that has most expertise in event storming on the planet, I guess. And and so we had to try. And it was working, and it was... But it was based on the fact that we already know each other. We already have been doing event stormings before. The interaction was good. And we could also do it in 2-3 days if needed. But one of the things is just like for any online session, you cannot spend the whole day online. Just like people would like to commit suicide after a few hours. So the whole day in a room as a workshop, it is doable because you have oxygen, you have free food, and there is some chit chat and the human side that pops in. But the whole day in a video conference or on a mirror board, no, please, that is not doable. It's asking too much for my brain, and that's the main thing. So that was a pessimistic start. The optimistic start is in well, most of the workshops are still in the other bunch, just or process modeling or software design. And this can be time boxed. This could be productive 2-3 hour session. And they could work. Also, they rely on the fact that you're probably doing this workshop with people you've been working before. So there's a little bit less emotional discovery involved, a little bit more collaborative problem solving. And yes, you can go on a digital format. You will lose a lot. It's funny. Like the first thing that people realize, just like we're losing the body language. To be honest, half of the people doing event storming actually don't really care about the body language. So they really care only about the software. And so, okay, you're losing the body language. Who's not looking at the body language anyway? And so I'm not losing anything. I'm not completely sure about it. There's a lot of other little clues that we might be losing, like handwriting, the little information which is in a little, a small cluttered board when you try to make things tidy. And if you go on a digital format, everything looks like not even written by the same person, but something cluttered in the real world means like it hasn't been refined. But virtually even storming, if you're following the color grammar, something which is just drafted looks as good as something which has been validated. While in a real world in a storming, usually on the second round, you start to put things a little bit more squared, tidy, and you have a visual feedback of the progression, of the clarity of what you've been doing. And the digital tools are missing this. Digital tools are pretending to make everything look tidy from the very beginning. And this is making us blind to some little clues. And not everybody's looking at this, but I was, and I feel like I was not the only one. It was just not a conscious activity. Another thing which is really relevant is you have to play with discipline. It's everybody talking about this doesn't work in the digital world, but you still have to provide feedback. And so a few things that we tried doing were, having the temporary responsibility of being the leader for another person, but at the same time, this person should not be continuously interrupted. The continuous interruption is bad in the real world, but it gets even worse in digital. I mean, we're not having a remote conversation. We're having a remote conversation on a media which is adding little delays, which is making your voice more metallic, which is making the listener experience a lot more frustrating. And Daniel Kahneman's system, Thinking Fast and Slow, this is system two continuously in action, just trying to understand what your colleagues are saying. This is a lot more exhausting when it's happening. So I would say we should start to try to talk close to the minimum and provide visual feedback as much as we can. It might be notes, it might be special red arrows, whatever, but we use the hotspot in the real world, it should be quiet, but it should be visible. But please leave 5 minutes of free modeling to the to your colleague. So far, that's the best combination we could find. And it's not working that bad. At the same time, nobody can scientifically make a comparison. So you don't know how much time will the same problem will need for in real life participation.
Different formats of event storming, because what I see is that many people think that event storming is just a one format. We need to go past three steps, and no, we've got the big picture and the process modeling and the software designing workshops. And I can't even imagine how the big picture even would like to work in remote, in virtual situation, because there are so many things outside the model. You mentioned the body language. The other aspect you mentioned, what is really, really interesting for me, is that you need to be focused. And it's not a problem if you are in the offline session. You can interact with people, you can touch, you can move around the room if you would like. I remember the situation when we were together in London on the session. 3 days, it was a blast for me. Right now, of course, we've got this COVID-19 situation, but previously, a lot of teams had some questions about the remote event storming sessions, because there are, in some scenarios, that, for example, the client is on the other side of the globe, and there is no economic sense to put everyone in the same room.
Well, I still think there was an economic sense to ask the question. And to be brutally honest, the question about can we do it remotely, it just pissed me off a lot. It used to piss me off a lot. Now it's more reasonable, because it started basically on... from the very beginning. So I was making my experiment. The experiment was surprisingly successful in doing things. And then it was an old colleague of mine working in the bank. He talked about the event storming. I said, like, well, that's great. Can you please ask Alberto if we can do it remotely? And I was Come on, you don't know what you're talking about, and you're asking me to change the idea, do it remotely. And I really felt like, no, you don't know what this is all about. Just like, because the scenario, the whole setting creates a space and conversation to have. And so one of the victims here is just like some conversation would not happen. But do we need all of this conversation all the time? Well, not really. And I mean, we can wait. But at the same time, talking about the big picture format, if your company, so there is a problem space, which is weird now, which is now everybody's trying to work from home, and you need to establish your closed room, you need to establish some silence, but basically these people are sitting all the time in a room alone. That's a good setting for delivering. If I have just to write something or to write some code, that is great. That's not a good setting for thinking. Thinking still happens better in a different scenario. I've been brainstorming on how to transform my consultancy, my trainings, and my whole company organization for this remote time, and not a single good idea happened while I was sitting in my computer. So I had to go in another room. I had to play with stickies. I had to, take a walk in my garden. I had to do something different in order to have a good idea. Because now the thing which is happening is just like we're forcing everybody to be stuck in video conferences. This is putting our brain in dumb mode. If we know what we have to do, if you are just executing, typing, brain dumping what it's already clear in our head, this works perfectly. But there's a giant blind spot in how to make critical decision collaboratively, because now we don't see the problem, we just see faces on the screen. And this is just recreating the typical setting of the dysfunctional meeting room with everybody sitting around the table. There is no flip chart. There is only people speaking. We cannot even see what they have, the notes that they are taking. So a lot of what we are doing in these days is recreating the most dysfunctional setting where the most stupid strategic decision are taken. And I think we can do a lot better in doing collaborative solution exploration, collaborative modeling, and all this other stuff. At the same time, there's one thing, if you remember this scenario in London, that was great for me too. Even storming is big. It was taking the whole wall. It was overwhelming, was delivering a message. Your top screen is not going to get bigger during a workshop. And so the actual impact of what you see on the brain is still going to be 15 inches. Not you're never going to be in the full. It's just like watching a Star Wars movie at home in your home screen, or going to the cinema. It's a lot more impressive if you see a big, great thing on the wall.
Yeah, okay. I remember the session in London. As you mentioned, the room was huge. The model was huge. We had some few thousand stickies around. And putting everything in the small screen, even if you've got, let's say, 60 inches TV screen, the experience will be not exactly the same. And you can even take a look on the whole things and discover that, okay, this is a connection from start to end. And maybe you will miss something important.
Yeah. It is the square meters of the visible surface is making a difference. I mean, even storming was big because we needed all of this space, and this space was conveying the message. Now this message is sterilized. So in terms of triggering a change initiative, I don't think that's going to be easy. On the other hand, there's a big message all around the planet that we have to change our service anyway, so we don't need to convince people. The punch in the face is already happening on some other channels, so it's still a trade-off. But yes, for the big picture session, if you badly need it, you can still do something. It just takes a longer time because we cannot do full immersion the whole day. But we are actually doing it. I just don't think it has a great market as a consulting activity in this days. But doable, yeah, if you accept the whole spectrum of risk possibilities and little delays, it might be necessary. Because now, some organizations are in strong need of rethinking their services.
Yeah, okay, so from your perspective, how we as event stormers can use this technique in current time? What would be the best scenario how we can put the event storming in the front line? Do you see any particular area where there is still some place where the very used? Because you mentioned some scenarios already, but maybe there are some places where we shouldn't even try to use it.
Well, I mean, you can try to use it whenever you want. one of the great thing of even kittens will die if you make a wrong session. So no, experimenting, well, go on. It's still powerful. As something that you can sell, well, the return on investment is actually different in this scenario. But I still think there are places that might need some experimentation. I mean, it might not even be just the event storming, but even something more general. I mean, what we are currently doing with collaborative modeling is actually really interesting. Like we are discovering discipline that will allow multiple professionals to collaborate on something that previously was done by a single person. And then, this is my design. Now you execute my plan, blah, blah, blah. And one of the things that is happening in these days is a lot of organization, but also nations and are trying to make decision around problems which are too complex to be managed by a single specialist. I don't know what is happening in Poland, but the thing that is happening in Italy is just like... everybody would like to have one single person to tell the whole story. And this is not happening because you need economists, you need virologists, maybe people in advertising delivering the right message for turning the people behavior in the right way. A single specialist might not provide all the answers. And for a continuously mutating reality, we need to make quick, deep decision and analyzing really complex scenario, and that's very hard to do if we don't see the whole problem space. And so there's something which is which was in the area of extreme teaming. There's a really good TED talk from Amy Edmondson, which on the topic, which is about how to make specialists collaborate when everybody's a leader in their field, and to solve emergency situation. And maybe it's not as much an emergency as a pandemic, but for a lot of companies and organizations, the new economic scenario is an emergency. They have to redesign things. And this activity could be done, in the old way, or could be done in smarter ways. So I think that's a space, and there are still things inside even storming, like the collaborative storytelling, the validation, continuous validation by the different parties, and the layering of thoughts that you can build upon the previous step that is still really, really valuable. We actually been doing this thing on a business line, but it doesn't have to be a business line. It might be how to get all the possible feedback about reopening the economy. Is what happens in this scenario? What happens? We are in 20 days from now. This is how the danger is predicted for this time, and this is how the economy will be. How do we do this? How would you expect the people behavior to be in this scenario? Well, it just helps to make a more plausible discussion. So, yeah, why not? And there's a lot of space in between.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm wondering because you as an inventor probably gets a lot of requests for the session facilitation, especially right now. So very curious, if you had some remote session, let's say in last weeks, and maybe you were surprised by something during the session, if you had something?
Okay, we had a few. We started eating our own dog food. One of the things, I would say, not so many surprises, because we were analyzing this a lot before going going to action. But one of the things that was in, let's say, played differently. So we lost the handwriting, and but one of the tricks that actually played well was okay. Let's make sure everybody's writing notes in each one with their own color, and we don't have the typical orange wall, but a very very multicolored wall with no specific meaning except. This is the color of Marius, this is the color of Alberto, and so on. And when we started doing the walkthrough and cleaning up everything, we turned everything orange as long as everything was discussed. And so we have the visual progression of, okay, that was multiple voices, and while the oranges were validated. I mean, changing color of the sticky notes was one of the little things that happens faster in digital format, and the little surprise was how quick it was to provide a visual feedback of, okay, now we're progressing, and everything looked like a multicolor mess, and now it's okay, progressively becoming orange, which means like we're doing something more. And I would say the visual reward of making progress is something that we badly need, because we're gonna be a little slower in this. In this scenario,
I had one more question, but don't be mad on me. But I know that we discussed it before we start the recording of this session. But I need to ask about your book. Waiting, and there are still some chapters to write. So, what is the current situation with your book?
Well, a lot of things. So the initial thought was, okay, everybody's gonna be at home. And so I might have more time for actually writing the book. Then the actual situation was a lot different. Like, okay, everybody is having more writing the book. No. Actually, what happened was we ended up working a lot more, because we badly needed to redesign our services as a training company, as a consulting company, to make experiments. So I actually wrote a lot more. And there's a lot of content. I mean, the two blog posts were, say, a little minority of what I actually wrote on these days. But at the same time, the book itself. Well, I need to have some more settled ground for this, because in the worst case scenario, putting everybody in the same room would not be viable for maybe a year, maybe more. So the top priority for helping people who are trying to do a good job might not be, well, a better description of the big P. The focus should be on, how to do this remotely because of something is different. But in general, the thing that happened was I started writing a lot more. Like there's a few more articles coming out about bounded context and alternative ways of modeling them, and I'm working on something about chopping down monolith into bounded context without even storming. I already had a solution using that. So there's a lot more writing. So expect a lot more content. Strictly on the book, well, it will happen, because I have more clarity and things to do, but it turned out not to be viable. Even, I would say, from an ethical point of view, the message, the first reaction was, okay, everybody's at home, you can write. Then in practice, the world is changing outside. Do I really have to pretend nothing is happening and taking this as a holiday? No, that was not a viable strategy. So, still there. Good ideas, content is happening, content is evolving also because I need to redesign the content for remote classes and workshop. But doing the fine-grained work of finishing that, that's going to be hard in the current weeks. As I said, we are actually working more, maybe getting paid less, but we need to redesign ourselves. That was an urgency call.
Yeah, okay, so I can't wait to read something from you. Alberto, I would like to thank you very much for your time, and just for me, stay safe.
Stay safe. Yeah, think about what might happen and brainstorm. I mean, just don't be sitting the whole day. That's not going to work.
Bye, Alberto.
Yeah. Bye. Have a great day.
Alberto poruszył kilka ciekawych punktów i tematów, które gdzieś tam warto wziąć pod uwagę. Może warto stosować na kolejnej sesji takiego zdalnego stormingu. Natomiast pozwolę się odnieść tylko do jednego zagadnienia tutaj poruszonego w tej rozmowie, czyli do tej książki. I tak myślę, że z perspektywy czasu cała ta obecna sytuacja przekuje się tylko i wyłącznie w coś ciekawego, w coś pozytywnego. Może wypracujemy jako komunity, jako środowisko jakieś nowe formy takiego zdalnego warsztatu, które nawet będą zastosowania nie tylko, czy mówimy o event stormingu, czy to jakiejś innej technice, ale może w takiej po prostu codziennej pracy i coś dobrego z tego finalnie będzie. Natomiast obiecałem na samym początku dwóch gości i dlatego chciałem jeszcze tutaj zaprosić na odsłuchanie krótkiej wypowiedzi od Jacopo Romei. Jacopo perspektywy do dodania w tym temacie. I ta rozmowa, może nawet nie rozmowa, ta wypowiedź została nagrana bardzo krótko po zdalnym, większym warsztacie, który Jacopo miał okazję przeprowadzić dla swojego klienta, więc to będą takie wrażenia praktycznie na gorąco. Zapraszam do odsłuchania.
Hi Marius, and thanks for inviting me. Actually, I executed a remote event storming just once so far. It was actually a taboo before the coronavirus, the COVID crisis. And I executed it together with Alessandro Braga, who pushed a lot for trying event storming in remote format with his company's finance team. So basically, it was quite a very non-nerd environment, which has pros and cons, as we will see in a few seconds. We used Moodle, not Miro, which is somehow, in my experience, used more in the event storming community. We prepared a Moodle template, and actually Moodle stood the test of a full day remote modeling experience. The bad parts. I think the model you get in the end can be a little bit shallow, a little bit empty, a little bit superficial. And my proposed fix is to have multiple shorter sessions to better manage the flow. Energy in the room, so let's say the room gets depleted much, much faster in a remote session, and you have to take into account this. So I would say it's short bursts and frequent pauses, frequent breaks. So time boxing. Basically time boxing like 50 minutes and then you got 10 minutes with people out of the room. Yes, it breaks the flow, but it's better to break the flow on purpose rather than seeing it breaking and once for all later in the day. Another bad part is that it's basically less enjoyable, and it's not just about fun. It's less enjoyable, and it means that there are less chances to extract unintended information. So there is less casual conversation, and so the so-called serendipity goes down. It's less likely that you're gonna find something that you were not looking for. Good parts, though, there are. Persistence is one, obviously, was the holy grail of event storming practitioners. So yes, the conversation is more relevant than the result of the conversation, but still, persistence is something good, especially if you have to break the sessions in more smaller sessions. like everything, when you go remote, people can gather from everywhere. And this is a key point when we think about inviting the right people in the room. So we get access to all the people that you would dream being in the, you would dream of in the room. Two or three purely digital features are that in Moodle, we use the so-called frameworks, which are basically boxes, to identify the areas corresponding to the bounded context, which is very useful, very comfortable. You can move the context, the bounded context around, bringing all the post-its together with it, and it's very, very comfortable. You can move tons of post-it at once in general, which is a huge friction, which was and it will be a huge friction in my experience with event storming in both in first-person facilitation and watching others facilitate. After a while, people get a bit lazy in moving post-it around, and I mean, this was, at least this, it was better than the real experience. And last but not least, pivotal events can be expressed with a classical yellow stripe and grouped. The post-its can be grouped with that yellow stripe, so you can move the pivotal events without losing their status as pivotal events. So in the end, my final thoughts are that the quality of a remote event storming session depends a lot on the quality of the people of the team. And I would say that teams with good emotional and social skills and with a good digital literacy can event store remotely in a very good way, with depth and richness. So basically, this also means that the role of the facilitator can be much more or much less important than before. If the team is not the right one, then the facilitator has to work a lot. Also, past experience can help. People that already had real life event storming, physical event stormings, can obviously get a better experience remotely. My final thought is that we will get back to co-located event storming for sure, but we'll be stronger in the face of those times in which you cannot bring everybody to event storming in the same room. So it was a taboo, it won't be a taboo anymore, it will be a choice, and more choices are always better. So basically, but this is happening in general, the digital divide is dropping in these weeks, in these months, and this is one of the few good things of this pandemic, I think. So let's look on the bright side, okay? So that's all. Ciao, Marius. Thank you.
I z tymi wypowiedziami od Alberto i Jacopo chciałbym was dzisiaj zostawić, żeby każdy mógł zastanowić się w kontekście własnych doświadczeń, własnego zespołu, własnego projektu, czy to narzędzie wraz z tymi poradami, które tutaj można było usłyszeć, coś będzie w stanie usprawnić. Czy to etapy modelowania, czy to etapy komunikacji, może gdzieś tam da się usznąć coś dla siebie. Dla osób, które chciałyby pogłębić swoją wiedzę i zobaczyć, co jeszcze da się z tego wyciągnąć, tutaj bardzo gorąco będę odsyłał do tych dwóch artykułów, które opublikował Alberto. Je można znaleźć na blogu Avans Koperty. One są także podlinkowane w moim repozytorium osób Event Storming. W repo na GitHubie da się także znaleźć kilka innych artykułów dotyczących właśnie zdalnego przeprowadzania takich sesji. Jest tam także zapis jednej sesji Domain Driven Design Virtual Edition, gdzie Alberto wraz z kilkoma uczestnikami przeprowadził taką formę właśnie zdalnego modelowania. Można zobaczyć, jak to wygląda w praktyce. Jestem też bardzo ciekawy waszych doświadczeń ze stosowaniem zdalnego modelowania, nie tylko z użyciem stormingu, ale także innych technik, więc także jakby ktoś chciał podzielić się swoim doświadczeniem, to bardzo gorąco zapraszam do tego, żeby gdzieś tam napisać do mnie, czy to na Twitterze, czy na mailu, czy na LinkedInie, tutaj każda forma będzie dobra. Jestem bardzo ciekawy waszych doświadczeń, bo też może uda się gdzieś tam we własnym zakresie jakby moich doświadczeń coś tam jeszcze usprawnić. No a tymczasem dziękuję wam bardzo za poświęcony czas. Do usłyszenia już wkrótce. Trzymajcie się. Cześć.